Kevin McGran joins us here on the Jeff Blair Show. Kevin, thanks for doing this. Are you expecting a same sort of deal with James Reimer, that maybe the Leafs and Reimer will meet somewhere in the middle, or could this potentially get ugly during the arbitration hearing?
I don't imagine either side will let it get sort of crazy. I think exactly what they did with Francis, sort of cut it down the middle and everybody move on and have a peace at camp, I think is kind of the ideal situation. James Reimer, I know he wants to be traded. I know he wants it to be number one goalie somewhere. I think he's got to kind of look around at the 29 other teams and kind of decide for himself whether he can truly beat out any of those guys for a job and whether any of those players, any of those teams would really want to give up assets to get him. And I know the Leafs right now, they look around and they go, well, is there really a better backup out there? We don't have anybody else in our system. So for both sides, a compromise, I think, is really what's on the table.
Now, does he have a good arbitration case? Of course, talking about James Reimer, I mean, normally, wouldn't they look at numbers and not necessarily video? And he has a career 914 save percentage and a winning record. However, going against Reimer is his past season, which was not a good one.
Well, they can make their case any way they really want to. If they want to bring up the numbers, they will. If they want to bring up wins and losses or performance, they will. I mean, it's up to the arbitrator ultimately to decide and who's the comparable. I know James Reimer, no matter what, is going to get at least what he got last year, probably a bit more. And that's, you know, maybe the going rate. I don't know specifically what he's asking for, but I do know one thing, and this will be an intriguing one to watch. If they do come to an agreement, and maybe they go even more than 1 year, he becomes a more tradable player. The chances of him getting out of Toronto are better if he's under a deal in which it's palatable to the other 29 teams.
Kevin, I understand that, but I don't think we've ever seen a landscape in the NHL where goaltending has been such a low value either on the trade market or in free agency.
It is kind of weird how the worm turns, isn't it? Because for a while ago, it was, you know, sign your goalies up long term and lock them up and give up every asset you possibly can to get one. I mean, we saw Steve Yzerman chase goaltending for years in Tampa. I mean, this team chased goaltending for years until it got Jonathan Bernier. And now all of a sudden, it seems like goalies are a dime a dozen. That there's, you know, Los Angeles and Anaheim are churning them out at such a fast rate that, you know, other teams can't keep up in getting them. It's kind of weird that way. And another weird thing this year was the number of centers that were available, like impact centers. And you know, for years you couldn't get one, and this year you know they're going dime a dozen.
Well, Kevin, the idea of a 2-year deal for James Reimer is interesting on a number of levels, and you talk about whether that could be a more attractive contract deal from another team's standpoint, but does that give the Leafs leverage over Jonathan Bernier next offseason when he becomes an RFA himself?
It does, depending on how well James Reimer performs if he stays with them all year. But yeah, that certainly can be a factor. We've seen the Leafs, for the most part under Dave Nonis, not entirely, but we've seen them toe the line on salary escalation. They've, you know, outside of perhaps the deal for David Clarkson, he's pretty much gotten deals that are decent enough. Certainly with your mid-range and low-end players, he's not giving up the farm. He knows he needs cap space. And any leverage that you have in that situation in order to maybe keep Jonathan Bernier down when he comes due next summer is certainly part of the bigger picture, although not necessarily that big a part right now as far as Reimer is concerned.
And this is assuming, of course, that James Reimer would accept a 2-year deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Perhaps he just wants to sign for 1 year, prove his worth, and maybe hit the open market as a UFA if he sticks around long enough.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm personally of the opinion that it's better to sign players to short-term deals. I'm wary of giving the long-term deals for the big money because players tend to kind of relax. They're not as hungry. It's just part of human nature. So guys on short-term deals that are always out to prove themselves, I think, are better for everybody involved, really, in terms of the product on the ice.
Kevin McGran on the Jeff Blair Show. That's Jeff. I'm George. Kevin, when it comes to James Reimer, a lot of the talk was, did we see this past April, did we see James Reimer for the final time in a Maple Leafs uniform? And maybe it would be the best for the Leafs and James Reimer if we did see him for the final time in blue and white. Kevin, what's changed since then, really?
Well, they don't have another backup goalie. They don't have another quality NHL goalie. I mean,
yeah, but is Drew McIntyre, was he really that dependable where you can say, yeah, you can slot him into a guy who's only made one career NHL start? You would have been comfortable with having that guy as your backup?
Well, a large portion of Leaf Nation would have been based on the play with the Marlies, but I think that's one of the reasons that Randy Carlyle kept going to James Reimer during the bad times there, when the team sort of dropped 12 to 16 or whatever the finals numbers were. They kept going to him because they weren't comfortable going to a career AHLer. They go with the guys that brung you. And, you know, they are kind of stuck in a way. They're stuck with each other for better or worse, and I think they're going to have to find a way to make it work.
In looking at the arbitration process between Reimer and the Leafs, should they get there, from a Leafs perspective, as long as Reimer gets less than $3.5 million, and we all expect that that's going to be the case, Leafs can't walk away, right?
Wow, you're getting me on the technical issues all of right. The collective bargaining agreement. There is walk-away provisions. I don't know exactly when they kick in.
Okay.
Kevin, when you talk about goaltending, and there's some tantalizing veterans still out there, we still don't know what the future holds for one Martin Brodeur. And we heard earlier that Brendan Shanahan had some mutual interest in a guy like Martin Brodeur, and Tim Thomas is still out there, Ilya Bryskalov, Thomas Vokoun, Nikolai Habibulin. You could probably get one of these guys at least on the very cheap. Wouldn't that be a better road to take to give the reins to a guy like Bernier, so he's not challenged at all, and we don't have that distraction with Randy Carlyle and Reimer thinking that he still could potentially be the number one goalie. Wouldn't ultimately that be just a better road to take for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, how do you get to that road? Do you just walk away from James Reimer? Do you just give him away? I mean, like, you have an asset there, and you have an asset that it's controllable, to borrow a baseball term.
Right.
And if he plays well, then you've got an asset. And other guys get hurt in the league, you've got something you can turn into something more so than you can with a Martin Brodeur or an Ilya Bryskalov or any of those guys. What's wrong with competition? I like competition. I really don't think it was a factor outside of, it was a bit of a factor that those two guys competed with each other, and the Leafs talk about creating competition for jobs, and if Reimer is pushing Bernier to be better, so be it. Let it be. You know, the only reason there's really and truly a controversy is the way Randy Carlyle deals with the media with goaltenders, in that he never says which one is going to play the next day. You kind of have to watch the practice, and that's a whole, like, so, okay, so we watch the practice, and then we know who done it, who's going to play. But it's a weird thing on Randy's part. I don't understand why coaches like to keep these things a secret. It seems ultimately pointless to me. It's like trying baseball to figure out which starter is going to start tomorrow. You kind of know you have your rotation. I don't think you walk away from anybody as young and as talented as James Reimer just to put an end to a goaltending controversy. I think you want as much competition for jobs on this team, as I don't think this is going to be a very good team at all. You want as much competition as possible to bring out the best in players, because they are competitive by nature.
Kevin, there was a school of thought out there that maybe James Reimer would be dealt around the NHL draft. And is he really that much more attractive with maybe a two-year deal or being a guy who's still a restricted free agent? There would be really that much more, you know, he would be worth more on the trade market having a two-year deal. I just don't see it. Do you?
Well, if the number's at the right price and it fits under a team's salary cap, then that's a problem they don't have to worry about. Like, if he's an RFA and he has a great year, well, then, you know, you're going to have to pay a little bit more. But if he's has a great year, but he's only going to get $2.5 million, he's not going to ask for $3.5 or $4.5, then, you know, you've got yourself a problem solved for another year. I think general managers truly value players under contract at manageable terms.
Are the Toronto Maple Leafs waiting on their negotiations with James Reimer to ultimately figure out who's going to be backing up James or Jonathan Bernier? Like, the idea of going outside the organization to bring in a goaltender, are they waiting on that to see what the numbers are with Reimer?
I would say that's exactly what they're doing. I think his arbitration hearing is Monday, so they really don't have to make the call until after that arbitration hearing of what they're going to do with James Reimer. if, like you said before, if the number is too high, they can actually walk away from it. I don't think that's going to be the case, and I don't think that's going to happen. But if they do come to some sort of deal and they can actually move him, then they can bring in a seasoned backup. Then they can do that. There's no reason to get a third goalie at this point, a third goalie with NHL experience at this point, until you see what the numbers are with James Reimer.
Kevin, well, we saw the Cody Franzen contract yesterday, 1 year, $3.3 million. The perpetual cycle of signing Cody Franzen to a one-year deal continues. But to me, this case is a little odd that clearly that's an asset the Maple Leafs can move around the trade deadline. But if the Maple Leafs were close to a playoff spot, fighting for a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, I just don't see them trading Cody Franzen, do you?
I guess it does depend what kind of season they're having. But, yeah, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent next year at this time, or July 1st. So you have to know whether you're going to be committed to him long-term the way you are to Dion Phaneuf and Phil Kessel, or whether he's basically a replaceable part the way, you know, Paul Ranger and Mark Frazier were replaceable parts. I think the jury's kind of still out on Cody Franzen because he's such a tantalizing offensive defenseman. But for a big guy, he doesn't play physical enough, and I think a lot of teams look at him and wonder why not, and I think that's just his nature. So Cody Franzen is what he is. He's a pretty good defenseman. He's a very good offensive defenseman. He can get the puck through, and then what's the bottom line price for that? The one thing the Leafs keep telling me is that they are very, very deep on the blue line with the Marlies. So if it's not Cody Franzen that's moved at the trade deadline or something like that, it will be one of their prospects. And it depends which direction they're going. Are they going to be a playoff contender that they need some help up front or some other position, and then maybe you trade a Stuart Percy or a Petter Granberg? Or are they a team that's going the other direction? And there's no point in having too many veterans around, and you can give the kids a chance. So maybe the veterans can launch you some draft picks or some future prospects. The fence is the one spot where they are very, very content with how the Marlies are producing players, and I don't think any of the defensemen, except for maybe Dion Phaneuf, should necessarily feel safe for the long term.
Kevin, if you're another NHL team and you see Cody Franzen being paid 1 year at $3.3 million, I mean, depending on whatever that team is in their situation, would you say that would be a contract and a player that you would be willing to acquire?
Well, I think if you think you're a cup contender and you're a defenseman away, I don't think you necessarily even look at the numbers. I think at $3.3 million at the trade deadline, you know, under the cap, it's only going to be it'll be less than $1 million. So most teams will be able to afford that. If you're a cup contender and Cody, you think Cody Franzen's the difference, then yeah, you're gonna make a play for him. But again, if the Leafs are in contention, I don't see them moving anybody off their roster, and they'd probably add a player or two.
He covers the Leafs for the Toronto Star, Kevin McGran. Kevin, thanks for jumping on today.
Hey, no problem, guys. Anytime.